here with this week's helping of Tasty Morsels of Madness with a side of sense to tickle your new starved taste buds. Talking of news, or more specifically the adverts in many newspapers and magazines, you like me must have noticed the common inclusion these days of countless ads promoting the services of a veritable cornucopia of dubious characters. No, not those ads. I'm of course talking about ads for psychics, fortune-telling phone lines, healers, mystical remedies and gadgets with supposed beneficial qualities, babas, tantrics, yogis and gurus, talisman sellers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and basically every kind of form of esoteric nonsense attempting to grab your attention and your wallets with their questionable and some downright harmful offers. They all generally have one thing in common, a fantastical claim with zero evidence in its favour, yet they seem to be allowed to continue to pollute the pages of the papers and magazines that include them. Well, it seems we could learn a lot in the UK from Indian law and India's Drugs and Magic Remedies Objectionable Advertisement Act. This act provides 2 months jail and a ₹2,000 fine for those caught in contravention, although, unfortunately, the sentence is rarely given out because Indian politicians tend to use gurus as a way to gain votes from their followers, to gain imagined spiritual credibility, and to mask their own misdemeanours. But it's not the corrupt politicians we could take a lesson from, it's more the guidelines the Act itself provides. And one such man taking their example over in Auckland, New Zealand, is Indian Weekender Group editor Dev Nadkarni. His newspaper will now no longer accept adverts that make magical promises and remedies, adopting the guidelines offered by the Indian Act. At a time when not only in New Zealand, but in the UK and world over, ethnic media outlets are targeting Asian readers with huge advertisements for gurus, babas, astrologers, yogis, etc., Dev has recognised this, and he's decided to pull any and all adverts of this kind, which is a very welcome move. Of course, it's not just the Asian culture these ads target, but as Dev points out, sure, there are ads for clairvoyants, palm readers and soothsayers, even in the mainstream New Zealand media, but it is just that they are far more pronounced in South Asian culture. Thankfully, though, it is beginning to be recognised in New Zealand, at least, and Indian High Commissioner Admiral Suresh Mehta last month called for all Indian papers in the country to stop carrying such ads. I mean, why stop there, though? Why not ban all these kind of adverts from all newspapers unless they can 100% prove that the claims they make in them are real and valid in every country in the world? Well, it can be tricky, as Foundation for Advertising Research Director Glenn Wigg of New Zealand states, newspapers had a tricky path to tread in weeding out advertisements for bogus psychics because some people believed in things such as astrology to the point where it could be seen as part of their right to practice religion. I mean, I may choose to believe that Scooby-Doo is the second coming, but it doesn't mean I have the right to con people out the back of it. Joking aside though, I can sort of see what he's saying here. The religious belief card would be played, and suddenly banning any advert with the claims within it had to be proved 100% before being allowed would mean tackling all religious adverts too. No bad thing, some might agree, but this isn't about religion. It's about specific claims being made by charlatans and con men that they can cure ailments, bring your fortune, even lure a partner back, or in the case of psychics, speak to the dead. Why can't the spurious claim be taken independently from the entire belief system it spouts from? If you can't bring down the might of the whole kit and caboodle, why not at least stop the specific flake claim or service being touted? Wigg goes on to say, people were entitled to religious freedom, but there were rules that constrained claims that a particular faith would bring a material gain, such as winning the lotto, for example. And there were specific rules against advertisements exploiting the superstitious or unreasonably playing on the fears of consumers. There had been a couple of complaints about exploitation of superstition, but we don't have any legislation equivalent to the Indian law, says Wigg. In the UK adverts in the media, it can be tackled and complained about to Trading Standards and the Advertising Standards Agency also, but this relies on people like you and me reporting them. Wouldn't it be far better if they simply weren't subscribed to by the papers and mags and media groups in the first place, cutting their publicity-generating source off at its source? I think all too often we think that, what is the point in complaining over these kind of adverts? We think it's too much hassle, it's a drop in the ocean, no one really listens or acts on them anyway. Well, One bad psychic member can vouch for the fact that this is not always the case, and these points, although frustrating, are not obstacles they appear to be. Cassis, our now famed sceptical letter writer and expert complaints commodore, featured on the Badcast in the past, has had considerable success in his efforts to expose and highlight spurious and fake claims to the authorities, with countless complaints he has made being passed to the compliance team at the ASA, and several so far being upheld. You can read up on his brilliant efforts at www.skepticalletterwriter@blogspot.com. You can also find out more about how to write a complaint and who to complain to there, and also check out the Bad Psychics forum and sister site www.parawatch.com for more info and links. Get writing! On to some news from Bad Religion and an update on what I'm now calling Pontiff Patrol. You remember last week I brought you the news that Richard Dawkins was backing an initiative led by Christopher Hitchens, along with top legal bods, Barrister Geoffrey Robertson and Solicitor Mark Stevens, to have the Pope arrested for crimes against humanity when he visits the UK later this year. Whilst they are considering whether they could either ask the Crown Prosecution Service to initiate criminal proceedings against the Pope, or launch their own civil action, or refer the case to the International Criminal Court, it seems they aren't alone in their efforts. As reported on CNN and various other news sites this week, an Illinois man and victim of the very abuse that has had the world reeling and rallying in anger is suing the Vatican and Pope Benedict for allegedly covering up sexual abuse by a priest at a Catholic school in Wisconsin which he attended. Arthur Budzinski, a deaf man who said he was sexually assaulted and raped by one Father Lawrence Murphy while a student at St. John's School for the Deaf, says, "The priest may have stolen our bodies, but higher clerics such as cardinals, archbishops and the Pope stole our voices." A very brave man, with a statement that sadly appears to be all too common and relevant. The suit says Pope Benedict was named as a defendant because he had the ultimate authority to remove priests and because of his involvement in reviewing sex abuse cases when he was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. "There are a number of priests, brothers and agents who defendant continued in ministry after the defendant knew or suspected that those agents had molested children. Murphy, however, can never be brought to justice as he is dead and was believed to have molested up to 200 boys over several years within the Catholic Church." But could this suit be successful in hauling Ratzinger and the Catholic Church over the coals? I'm not so sure, but here's hoping it does succeed in at least forcing change in church policies and practices that conceal sex offenders like Vile Murphy. This week's Bad Psychic News, and we have a major contender in mother and daughter psychic Chicago con artist team, Laura Santini, 61, and her daughter Roseanne, 35, who were indicted this week in Cook County on felony theft charges for allegedly scamming an unnamed Park Ridge woman into handing over $62,000 to them. The pair, who claimed that they were going to take her cursed money to cleanse it of evil spirits, instead stole it and did a runner. Not the old cleanse your cash scam again. It's paper and ink, for crying out loud, and there's a small matter of curses don't exist. You might be forgiven for thinking how could anyone be so gullible as to fall for this, but a Chicago police detective on the case said they basically were able to convince the victim that some money she had gotten was cursed money and that somehow that curse had transferred to her other money. They told her that in order to be able to remove this curse, they needed to take the money physically to a shrine in Indiana and with prayers drive the curse from the money. It's not uncommon, sadly, that people in a distressed or vulnerable state, perhaps even in the depths of depression or illness, can and do fall for this brand of sheer barefaced extortion, manipulation and fear by those who have not a decent bone nor moral in their body. Here's hoping the pair get the book thrown at them. Finally, the psychic celeb fluff section, where the world of the famous meet the world of the woo. Remember psychic astrologer Russell Grant, he of the woolly rainbow pullovers and cuddly camp cooing on your TV in the 80s? Well, he's emerged from his woolly psychic phone line cash cocoon of recent years like a slightly rotund phoenix to the rescue of media headline hogger Katie, everyone has their Price, Reid, and has vowed to stop the alleged paranormal activity she's been chundering on about at her home. You might remember a few weeks ago I mentioned Price had drafted in the modern-day Doris Stokes on speed, or as she's more commonly known, Sally Morgan, psychic sick inducer, who after she presumably waddled around the Price pad, spouting her usual wide-eyed carry-on up the ethereal verbal, declared the spirits are drawn to the 31-year-old Price, who claims she was left spooked when her sunbed alarm was switched on in the middle of the night, allegedly by some male presence who liked to hang around her tanning machine. Well, now Russell's getting in the act, and believe you me, it is an act, by becoming the latest recruit to help Price falling and so-called unexplained incidents at her mansion. So what has Grant got planned for his spook-removing charades? Grant told the Daily Star, I will light candles and attempt to find out who is causing the mischief and then purify the place. Bleeding candles? She could have nipped down to the nearest Poundland, bought a bag of tea lights, a bottle of Mr. Muscle and done the deed herself. As for what's causing the mischief, she doesn't have to look further than her attention-seeking, riddled imagination, oh, and her PR team for the answers. Still, at least it's given old Russell his first gig since Tony Stockwell was in Farrah's in a school tie. Price, however, not content with Morgan and Grant's reflected pseudo-psychic publicity, has just signed up, along with cage-fighting hubby Alex Reid, to appear in their very own Ghost Hunting With episode with Queen of the Damned herself, Yvette Fielding. Reports that they will be trying to raise the long-dead spectre of Price's dignity, along with an attempt to conjure up the equally expired spirit of Reid's intellect, may be exaggerated. After all, you can't contact what didn't exist in the first place. In more celeb spookery news, it seems Karen Gillan, flame-haired companion to Matt Smith's new Doctor Who, is not as canny a fellow plucky top Scots bird as I'd first pegged her as. The actress who has set fans' hearts racing seems to have trouble with her own ticker fluttering in fear, as she admits she's terrified of being left alone because she's convinced her house is haunted. She was quoted in an interview this week as saying, paranormal activity scares me. If I'm at home on my own and trying to sleep, I can get quite freaked out and need to look around every few seconds. My mother is adamant there are ghosts in our house, which hasn't helped me. She thinks we've got a presence. That's no paranormal activity, hen. That's your radiators rattling after a night on the sofa watching one too many episodes of Most Haunted after a cheeky wee glass of sherbet. Your mammy should know better than to fill your head with the idea it's some spook presence to the point where you're too feared to spend the night alone in your own home. If she thinks a night in her Todd is the scariest, weirdest thing she can encounter, she's in for a shock when she hits the Doctor Who fan convention circuit. Here's hoping Russell Grant doesn't get wind of her fears, or he'll be round her gaff with tea lights and purifying puerile psychic MacGuffins faster than you can say meal ticket. Anyway, that's all this week's, folks. I'm away to express mail a fire extinguisher and flame retardant cable knit jersey to old Russell for use at Price's home. On second thoughts, though. This has been Fluffit for the Bad Bulletin. Hope you enjoyed.
Check out the website at www.badcast.co.uk.